There's no happy ever after. When you're facing 5 to 10, they find an armchair full of cocaine. You're in a dive with your best friend. You're gonna have to learn to live with a silly judgment call. You put your trust into a nerve. Now she's kissing by the pool. It's been a long, long time coming. Mrs. Kissing Town says that you won't dance. I guess it's when you play with fire. Fire's gonna burn you when she can. And the press gonna have a field day. A wife takes her revenge. And a two-faced snake goes back to giving friends. Everybody on the back of the bus, they say, Billy Billy can't take his cocaine to town. Cause the judge is gonna send old Billy down. And Billy Billy had nobody gonna care. For true lovers are the ones that put you down there. Now the rumor going round is that the curtain's coming down. There's no deal that can be done. For this deal around here is gone. It's just a private hell. You're gonna sell that meth for one. And a two-faced snake wriggles out into the sun. Everybody on the back of the bus, they say, Billy Billy can't take his cocaine to town. Cause the judge is gonna send old Billy down. Billy Billy ain't nobody gonna care. For two lovers are the ones that put you down there. Billy Billy, Billy Billy, Billy Billy, Billy Billy. Billy Billy, can you tell me what you're gonna do? You got the judge and the jury and your wife all after you. Billy Billy, can you tell me what you're gonna say? They give you 5 to 10 and they blow the key away.
It's the Raven of the Blues. Talk Radio Europe on the coast of Spain, Radio Napa in Cyprus, Radio Leeds, would you believe in Leeds, and Kansas City Online Radio. Normally when we have a live session, this is the first of 2014, I'm pretty well prepped up, I know what's coming, I've done all the research on the artists, often I know them. Today's a bit unusual because I only heard of our live session artist about 3 weeks ago. I only featured him for the first time on the show about 2 weeks ago with that track, Billy Billy. And it's great to welcome Devonport to the Raven of the Blues. Tony Devonport, but Devonport is your the name you work under. Sure. But you seem to have just kind of appeared, and I know that can't be the case.
No, not really. I guess it's been a kind of a 20-year layoff for me, really. For, you know, personal kind of stuff and that kind of thing, really. And I think kind of when I stopped, I suppose it was in 90, to me there wasn't a lot of kind of blues-based stuff that was really getting what I kind of thought it should do. Do you know what I mean? I think only recently, like guys like John Mayer and Johnny Lang and you know, people like that have made it kind of relevant, I suppose, mm-hmm. which, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, Clapton was like wallpaper. You know, yeah. he was kind of around me, and but the guys that I came to blues in a very kind of roundabout type of way, I suppose, was Phil Lynott. I mean, he's the reason yes. I'm sitting here.
Okay,
it's as simple as that. Because it was I fell in love with Thin Lizzy, and him especially, because he was just very masterful in what he did. And you walked away from a gig, and you was buzzing, and he was the real deal. I'd seen lots of guys in the 101 Club and, you know, places like the Greyhound in Fulham Palace Road and yeah. stuff like that, you know, and learnt me bits and bobs, places like that. But him and guys also like Nils Lofgren.
Yes.
You know, kind of...
But Nils is so different to Phil.
He is,
yes.
yeah. They're both, I mean, I think the thing is with me is that it's all come from a blues based yeah. place. So the first thing I can kind of consciously remember hearing, as opposed to being like Johnny Rotten or someone, was O.C. Smith.
Mm.
You know, so my dad had an album called the Dynamic O.C. Smith, which I think it was a live recording, and a very kind of jazz, very light jazz type setup. And he just blew me away with his singing. All right, actually, I didn't know because I was so young. You know, I didn't know what it was about it, you know. But when I was kind of growing up, I was just drawn to people like that. And say, guys like that. And then I suppose from Phil Lynott, I suppose in the 80s especially, was Robert Craig. Yeah, I really got into him heavily because, like I say, we wasn't fed anything. You know what I mean? We was kept in a, you know, unless you was like a real kind of into it or a certain age.
Yeah.
You wasn't able to kind of get that. I mean, I was listening to like Stack stuff because Steve Cropper was playing guitar. And for me, one of the best, because he's very, very, very minimalistic in what he does. And just an incredible, like, cutting sound, you know, like Green Onions is probably one of the best solos, if not a solo, that I've ever heard, you know what I mean? It was just...
It also stands the test of time
oh,
as
man,
well.
Yeah,
yes.
It was just, like, mind-blowing. So I picked up on guys like that, I suppose that really kind of tipped it round, you know. I knew about B.B. King.
But you see, the one thing which stands out for me when I first heard of you and had an MP3 sent, and my first reaction was, I know it's just been the same with all the other DJs and the British Blues Association, is, wow, where's he come from? What a voice. And your voice, unlike some voices which have been to college and been trained and things, yeah. I have a feeling you haven't been to college for your voice.
No, I lose it quite a lot, which ain't a good thing, really. You know what I mean? When you've got lots of gigs, which is one of the reasons why... You know, no, it's definitely not trained. And I was sent one period of time, but that lasted all of the session, and then it's nah, see, not for me, you know.
So, but the voice I'm hearing now, is that the voice you've had, you've known from day one, basically?
I think so. I mean, I kind of think I got to a point where it was kind of where to stop. You know, because I felt that kind of, especially like singing blues type stuff, that was where, you know, I was in blues bands and, you know, several blues bands. So it was very natural for me to do. But then you got kind of listening, you could hear like Michael McDonald and he's a great, you know, he's an incredible voice, you know, very natural voice. But I didn't go I didn't go to that place, you know. I stayed... You know, I'd say old school.
Is that because you're worried you're like a sponge and you'll end up, if you listen to too much Michael McDonald, you'll end up sounding like a sort of a Doobie,
yeah, I think
Doobie Light, you mean?
Well, yeah, but I did get off on the Doobie Brothers. Definitely, like, you know, the Long Train Running and the listen to the music and those kind of obvious things. And like I say, I wasn't buying huge amounts of records, to be perfectly honest. I can't remember what the first thing I ever bought, but it was probably a Thin Lizzy album, I would have thought.
Yeah.
so, yeah, I kind of... I think if people kind of push stuff on me, I tend to run away, you know, and it could be anything. So I kind of like to find my own kind of music, you know. And I think when someone is either the hype or something's pushed into you, to me anyway, I'll back off. So yeah, I'm careful in what I listen to, but it always kind of goes back to listening to, you know, Robert Craig and Clapton and guys like that, really.
it's opposite today, and it's St. Patrick's Day as well, so right. Phil Lynott is an opposite one.
Phil Lynott, yeah. Well, they put a statue up for Phil, so do you know what I mean? God bless him.
You've given a little bit of the back history there. We'll come to more and also what's been happening in the intervening 20 years after your next number. What are you going to do for us next?
The next thing is we're going to kind of issue... This track's actually about 30 years old. I took it into a company once and they kind of looked at me as if I was like off of another planet. It's called Gonna Find Me a Train.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. La, 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 la. Oh, no, 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 no. A winter's day, 10 long years ago, blood ran through the snow. And I left home, blame for my brother's wrong. Yes, I was blamed for his misery. They hung his crime on me, but now I'm free, and I want his eyes to see. Gonna find me a train, then I'm gonna ride it home again. Gonna ride that train till the sun goes down. Gonna find me a train, then I'm gonna ride it home again. Gonna ride that train till my work here is done. Though I try, I just can't believe he cried. He cried over my demise, but I'll put his world to right when I reach his home tonight. When I get done, I'm gonna swing for my father's son. 'Cause no matter how I try, I ain't gonna live this life. So I guess we both will fry. I'm gonna find me a train, then I'm gonna ride it home again. Gonna ride that train till the sun goes down. Gonna find me a train, then I'm gonna ride it home again. Gonna ride that train until my work here is done. Yeah, until my work here is done. Until my work here is done. Gonna find me a train, then I'm gonna ride it home again. Yeah, I'm gonna ride. Yeah, I'm gonna ride. Yeah, I'm gonna ride until the sun goes down. Until that sun.
Don't to start with that. There is so much so much emotion, so much rawness in that, and very dark too.
It's very dark, yeah.
Most people develop whatever skills we have in life, we develop through lots and lots of man hours, either on stage or playing records as I do for a living, whatever. I had a feeling that in the intervening 20 years, you haven't been playing very much, have you? Or have you?
No, not at all. I kind of leave it until I walk onto a stage, really, before I do... I kind of keep it, you know, I do enough to keep myself kind of, you know, vocally and do you know what I mean, going, but I tend to save stuff for when I'm doing things like this or getting up on a stage. So I didn't feel the need to go out and play. I just felt it was a bit of a waste. For me, I wanted to centre in on recording, you know, and 29 songs later, I've kind of stopped. Do you know what I mean? I thought, right, let's now go, because I just couldn't, I couldn't do the two together. I couldn't go out and play, get up on a stage at 10 o'clock at night, and then, because I've got a day job, do you know what I mean? I've been a lead worker for 25 years.
Right.
So that's paid. You know, it was always going to be a lot of money to bring this thing together, and players as well. You know, I weren't going to use, I wanted to get some great players together and do the best that I possibly could for the material, you know, and which I think I've done. And so now it's the kind of enjoyment time, really, to now take it back to where it, you know, hopefully get people into it and get listening. But there, I try not to do, you know what I mean? I could be out doing it all the time, but I don't need, you know, I don't feel it.
A,
you know,
couple of things there. You say you're a lead worker. That's on roofs, is it?
Yeah, churches and stuff, like, just actually around here where we are. I mean, there's two that I've done in this area. So it's that's why I'm built, like, you know, I weren't like this when I was a kid, you know what I mean? I'm quite big, because you're shifting huge amounts of lead. Weight.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to crane it into position, because it's very heavy.
So is it you now feel 2014 that the time is right?
Yeah. I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, and has been sort of other people outside sort of saying, telling you, you've got to do this.
I suppose because I have been kind of anonymous, I guess, that stopped happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to me, I have become, to a certain degree, it's only when I'm kind of doing things like this and sitting indoors that I become, it's quite a weird one, do you know what I mean? You are two people. It does kind of do your brain in a bit, but you've got to learn to, you know, switch on and switch off. But for me, it was always the money I needed to take this exactly where I went, without record companies and stuff like that. Yeah. I was looking, I knew, you know, past recordings cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So for me to do an organic thing and do it with real players, you know, a lot of it one take, it had to be well mic'd up, it had to be that kind of scenario.
Yeah.
And that was going to cost a pound note, so I had to just go bite the bullet and go back and go work, you know.
Yeah. But the technology now has got to the stage where there's sort of thing you can do for a lot less than it cost 15 years ago or whatever.
It is, but I'm still of the genre that, like Wilco Johnson and Roger Daltrey, you know, they've just done this thing.
That's right. It
took a week, I don't know, but that's kind of how long it should take, man, you know what I mean? Yeah. You get some great players in a room, you get that, you know, get the sound up, you know, take 4 days getting the sound, but when it goes down, if you got the right guys in a room, it should go down. There's no reason why that shouldn't go down quick. And that's, you know, I mean, that's a sad thing. I know what you're saying. And yeah, tech, I could sit with a Mac, but apart from a guitar or two guitars, electric, I don't want nothing else in the house.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I want to, when I go work, I want to, as in work recording wise, I want to walk into a studio and do it. I don't really want a demo. I don't like doing that. You know what I mean? If it's going to be a demo, it's going to be a master. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't want to kind of, because I think it's quite, it's quite spiritual. Is sometimes like when you, especially on lead vocals, you know what I mean? I'm going to get it in one or two. If I don't, I might as well pack up and go home, because it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, repetition for me, like you say, I think singers can. I have watched singers that can just switch it on and switch it off, which is great, you know what I mean? And I could do it, and probably people wouldn't know, but I think sometimes vocals kind of, on this last batch of recordings, although everything was done kind of, you know, I had the head on of everything would be done in one take. You know, maybe if there was a fluff or whatever, I'd save that take and patch it up.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it was done in that respect. And the vocals were done with that as well. What I did, I first put, so I could bring the essence of the, you know, the songs into play with the initial guitar part, my initial guitar part, to a click, and then put the lead vocal down. Not kind of, you know what I mean? Because I was used to kind of building, like I say, you either do one or the other. You either go in with a band.
Yes, and just do it live.
And do it.
Yeah.
Or you've got to try and recreate that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you can't, it's hard getting, like I say, once again, coming down to budget, not having a deal and stuff like that. you ain't going to get four guys in a room. Simple as that, you know what I mean? It's very, well, it was for me anyway, hard to get the kind of players that I wanted to use in a room together. It just weren't going to happen. So I had to kind of try and create this. So the best way I could do it was to get one takes off of everyone. And I myself, you know, and then it's, you can't, like I say, you, all right, if there's a fluff and it's a great take. The guitarist was, me and the guitarist, Milton McDonald, was the best session I've ever done.
Right.
He was just on fire. You know, there's no doubt about that. And I hit the songs three times. We picked the best vocal, and that was it. Do you know what I mean? And so I think, I, kind of ultimately, you know, in all the time that I, you know, I've been listening or been doing what I've been doing, it's probably where I wanted to. I'm happy with, you know, the last batch of recordings that I made was the closest to where I've. Do you know what I mean? Unless I walk in with Robert Craig, of course.
Let's talk about your writing and where the inspiration and all those things comes from after your next number. What are you going to do for us next?
Don't know, actually.
That's the way it should be.
Well, I wrote, like I say, a batch of songs. And I also knew when I'd start writing again, it, lyrically, it'd be about, you know, people that I knew and stories. Like Billy Billy was about a drug dealer on my estate. I come from quite a rough estate, so that was about him. But my old man passed away in 2007. And I remember having this dream when I was a kid about all my uncles. I never got to, I met three of them, but it was about five. There was always big families in those days, you know. And I remember having this dream about all my uncles, but I remember very vividly one uncle. His name was Tommy, and apparently Tommy could pick up a piano. I must have had that running in me as well. He was a real strong guy, this guy. But I remember him coming over and seeing me I was in Battersea and he was in Chelsea, and he used to come over, and he was in an incredibly crisp blue, dark blue suit with a crisp white shirt. And that was pretty much how they all dressed at that period of time, you know. And I remember that, but never got to meet him, unfortunately. He died very young, and a couple of them did. But Man in the Moon was basically about this dream that I had, that I would meet up with all of them. We'd sit and have a drink. And when my dad died in 2007, I kind of thought, yeah, I'm going to bring this all into one. It's kind of about other things, but that's the principle of it. So this is Man in the Moon.
I'm heading for the door. You won't lock me inside. I'm taking so much more than I leave behind. Just racing out the sun. I don't care if I go blind, 'cause the faster that I run, the less I gotta hide. I believe I'm punching through, and every day is a step near you. Save me a chair, 'cause pop someday soon, we're gonna share a drink in the Man in the Moon. I'm shifting like I'm sand. I'm working my way free. I don't know where I'm going, but I know we all must leave. So let them rivers rise, 'cause you can sing my song. 'Cause the castle that I keep, it's a lot more like a sail. I believe I'm punching through, and every day is a step near you. Save me a chair, 'cause pop someday soon, we're gonna share a drink in the Man in the Moon. We're lost in religion, drowned if we're not. I'll make peace if I get there, or by Salem's lot. I can't help but wonder, I fail to understand, if there's a God up in heaven, What the hell is God's plan? 'Cause I believe I'm punching through, and every day is a step near to you. Save me a chair, 'cause pop someday soon, we're gonna share a drink in the man in the moon. We're gonna share a drink in the man in the moon. We're gonna share a drink in the man in the moon.
That's beautiful. Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
Which
Well, the Man in the Moon is a pub.
Yeah, which one? I mean, there are quite a few of them. Chelsea. Which one is it? Chelsea, right.
Well, okay. Yeah, he was born and bred in Chelsea, you know, blue and white. I want to put him in the coffin, I'll put him in a Chelsea shirt, so. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's a stone's throw now from the ground. He's in Brompton, so,
right.
In Cemetery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Man in the Moon was a pub. I used to go and dig him out of there, you know, on a Saturday afternoon or whatever. So that was the pub, you know, in Chelsea.
First of Numbers you did, a lot darker lyrically. I guess I get a feeling there's been some darkness in your life.
Yeah, there is. I don't know how far we want to go with it. very. I mean, when I was a kid, I suppose that's why I kind of knew that I could keep it, for use of a better word, real, as opposed to be technical about me singing, because
yeah.
There was always a darkness following me around, and I don't know what it was. I mean, you know, I was a bad, bad depressive for a long time. It's never going to leave you. It's always going to stay with
yeah.
you. I remember coming round in Oxford Street, not knowing how I got there, and that was without the use of drugs or drink. Do you know what I mean? So I had problems when I was a kid. That was very early on, and then, you know, as time went by, they kind of developed, and as your brain kind of becomes aware and starts to kind of overthink. You know, my mate of mine said to me, thinking it's a disease, and at that point I kind of went, yeah, you yeah. know what, mate, you're right. You
yeah.
know? So
imagination too, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, imagination.
All
and
of those
I had
things.
I had a kind of mind-blowing imagination. So, yeah, it's about, and lyrically, like, it's kind of, it showed its face now in what I write. So, but it is what it is, you know. I can't kind of hide who I am, and
no.
I write what I write. But, you know, there's some comical. When I was a kid, I wrote one about not bunking off school, but I had a friend of mine. He spent most time out of school as opposed to in school.
Yeah.
See, they couldn't contain him, what he was like, you know. And I wrote a song called Something About Your Son, and it's a blues song, you know. And it's about a naughty boy, you know, and
yeah.
it's comical, you know what I mean? And so I will go to those places, but it's subject matter,
yeah.
you know? But yeah, there was a lot of dark periods, very, very dark periods, you know, and I drank way, way, way out, you know, way too much, to the point that I couldn't even get drunk. I mean, I was drinking a lot,
yeah.
you know? So it was, you know, there was a point when kind of music and I had to knock it on the edge, you know, and that meant as well gigging. Because
yeah.
I'd been gigging in 5-6 bands, and you know, I was smoking and whiskey on, you know what I mean, on
yes.
bottles of whiskey on stage, and you know.
When you come to sit down and write, do you think today I must write some things, or is
no.
it just kind of comes? You think?
It does. I mean, I was kind of put to order by a mate of mine lost his leg in a terrible accident, who was a cruiserweight champion and fought for the world title. And that brought me to write something overnight. But apart from that, I can't really think of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Writing to order, man, it's kind of, I find it hard.
But when you do write, you tend to get the inspiration from things
stories.
That have happened in your life. Yeah.
Well, like the train song, the train song's probably going to find me a train is one that I don't think I could really explain. I loved cowboys when I was a kid. I grew up next to Clapham Junction Station. There's the train thing,
yeah.
and the kind of the riff in it is very, you know, turning over.
Mm.
And I guess when you're growing up, literally a thrown stone away from, you know, a train station,
mm.
that's subconsciously going on in your little brain. Do you know what I mean? So that's the only way. But the actual story was a kind of a Cain and Abel type story. What's not kind of issued in the song is that it's about a girl. One of them fits. One of them murders someone and then fits his brother up with the crime.
Yeah.
And basically the story is that he's walking out of prison onto a train station. He's going to go home.
Yeah.
And he's going to do the deed on his brother. You know, he's going to get his revenge. Yeah. And that's where it's a very country kind of rhythm and bluesy type song. Do you know what I mean? American. But I think, you know, like that was the only one I could kind of think or not think where it come from.
Right.
The rest of them all have, you know, some kind of meaning, even if, if it's just to me. They have. There is a storyline to, like I said about the one about Bunking, Something About Your Son, which is one of an early recording. Which was about a mate of mine. Man in the Moon was about me dad. I think digging in my brain is a blues thing, and it's a kind of a middle-aged rant. Well, you know, I had a really bad year, man, and I was just getting hit with, like, speeding tickets. I was doing 35 in a... Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it was my kind of... having a go back, you know what I mean, about government, and then I had to get rid of a 4x4, which I took it in for an admissions test, and it was fine. It was just someone else telling me what I should and shouldn't do. So it was a bit of a rant, you know what I mean? But Strangers to Me is another track I wrote about a mate who was on heroin, and that was a very kind of personal thing, I suppose. Mm. But, you know, there is subject matter to what I do.
So, I mean, the response has been amazing, because since we all got fed, the Blues Broadcast Association of the UK, there's 28 or 30 of us in that association, since we all got fed your work, the response from them has been amazing, which can only lead, therefore, to airtime and, therefore, hope to audience stuff, too.
I keep my fingers crossed. Yeah. That's all I can do.
Seeing as it is St. Patrick's Day today, and singers Thin Lizzy have been so important in your life, and they were, I guess, I mean, for me, the best live band in the world was The Who, but of course you're younger than me, and therefore by the time you get to your age, it's Thin Lizzy probably, and they were a fabulous live band, and we should probably make reference to anybody got any Irish in them, to anybody want any.
Yeah, definitely, that's a great line.
One of the best lines in rock and roll,
brilliant.
What are you going to finish with?
Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't really rehearsed this, but I'll give it a go. It's Thin Lizzy, so...
Right.
Still in Love With You.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I'll give it a go. This is for Steve McGee. I think I'll fall to pieces. If I don't find something else to do, the sadness never ceases. Ooh, I'm still in love with you. In my head, it keeps on reeling. It's got me in a crazy spin. Oh, darling, 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 is this the end? I'm still in love with you. I'm still in love with you. You know some people out there saying time has its way of healing. It can drive all the tears from your eyes. But you know, darling, they don't tell you about this empty feeling. You know I can't disguise it. And after all that we've been through, I try my best, but it's no use. Oh, I'm gonna keep on loving you. Here's this the end. I'm still in love with you. I'm still in love with you. What am I gonna do when I can't stop loving you? What am I gonna do when I can't stop loving you? It's
So now that it's all over, a woman is something I think you should know. Her mama called my baby, she had a baby by me. She might think it over one more time before she